Selina's confrontation with the soldiers had lasted a matter of minutes, but to those involved and to the onlookers, time had slowed a minute to an hour. Time then sped up again when a tall, darkly handsome gentleman in tricorn and long fur-lined cape appeared, as if from nowhere. His sword was drawn, and such was the purpose in his stride and the look in his eye that the crowd once again held its collective breath in expectation. No sooner had this gentleman disarmed the corporal and his comrades, sent the girl back to her grandfather, and rescued the beauty, to the appreciative smiles of the crowd, than 24 grenadiers burst out of the customs house and spread over the dock like a great blue wave splashed up over the canal. They charged with bayonets drawn. Seeing this wave rush towards them, terrified passengers tripped over themselves to back out of harm's way. The soldiers stopped a mere bayonet's length from them and turned their backs and stood shoulder to shoulder, forming an impenetrable barrier between them and their commander. Half a dozen of their number had already surrounded Alec and Selina. Everyone waited for the commander. The dock secure, the colonel took his time to walk its length. His uniform was crisp, the gold facings to his blue frock coat bright. A polished silver gorget, white silk sash with overlarge tassel tied about his waist, matching white cuffed gloves and gold-trimmed tricorn proclaimed his rank. Well-polished black boots were encased in appliqued splatterdashes, which buckled from the bridge of his foot and up over his knees. He strode with the confidence of command and the knowledge that everyone's life was at his whim. As such, his sword remained in its scabbard, and in his gloved hand he held a gold-topped baton. "Lower your sword," he demanded of Alec, pointing the baton threateningly. He repeated his command in French, adding, "By order of His Highness the Margrave, I, Colonel Hendrik Muller, order you to lower your sword." Alec replied in German, "Willingly, Herr Colonel. First you must do likewise and order your men to stand down." The colonel was taken aback, not only by Alec's impeccable German, but also by his bravado. He covered his amazement with a smug smile. It was this he showed to his men as he looked about to ensure the queue of passengers were secured. This gentleman was either a reckless hero or an heroic idiot. Either way, he had a death wish. He appealed to Selina.
"Fraulein, tell your friend to put away his sword, or—"
"Herr Colonel, does the House of Herzfeld have your complete loyalty?" Alec interrupted. Again the colonel was incredulous, but he did not hesitate to answer.
"Of course."
"And your men? They're all loyal to their Margrave?"
"To a man."
"Very well, then. I order you, in the name of His Highness, to have your men stand down and to allow this lady to return to her party."
"You? You order me
in the name of my Margrave?" "Do as you're told or face the consequences for disobeying a direct order, Herr Colonel." Colonel Muller could hardly believe his ears, nor could his men. They all waited with expectation as to what he would do. The captain decided this gentleman was the latter, an heroic idiot. He lost his patience. "Listen, fool," he hissed, stepping up to Alec. "I am the one giving the orders. If you do not sheath your sword, I will have my men cut you down. Understand? Now, I will escort this lady to—"
"No, Herr Colonel."
Alec's sword was under the captain's heavy chin before the man could blink. The tip caressed the bare throat, just above the folds of his linen stock. All eyes remained riveted on them, the soldier's senses heightened, muscles tensed but unmoving, the crowd swaying as one, Selina as rigid as a statue. The colonel's startled gaze followed the length of the blade up into Alec's unblinking blue eyes. His voice was reed thin.
"I raise my hand, and you are dead."
"As are you, Herr Colonel."